Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Theo of Golden is a contemporary character-driven novel by Alan Levy, centered on an older stranger who arrives in the small southern town of Golden and quietly disrupts its routines. Theo becomes a regular at the Calice, a local coffee shop where pencil portraits of townspeople hang on the walls. His decision to buy the drawings and return them to their subjects gives the book its recurring structure, a gift, a conversation, a story, and a change in how someone understands personal worth or communal belonging. The novel belongs to the tradition of gentle moral fiction, with visible Christian influence, but a broad interest in kindness, beauty, grief, and attention. Rather than building suspense through elaborate plot mechanics, it uses repeated encounters to ask whether small, deliberate acts of generosity can restore dignity and renew the social fabric of an ordinary town. Its purpose is less to surprise than to examine how goodness becomes credible when practiced in concrete human contact. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, portrait giving as the central engine of moral action. The most distinctive narrative device in Theo of Golden is the purchase and return of the pencil portraits displayed at the Calice. This action is simple enough to feel plausible, yet structured enough to carry the novel. Each portrait gives Theo a reason to seek out a particular person, cross a social boundary, and begin a conversation that might otherwise never occur. The portraits matter because they are not grand gifts. They are intimate, recognizable objects that say the subject has been noticed before any words are exchanged. This turns generosity into something concrete rather than sentimental. Theo does not merely approve of kindness as an idea. He creates a circumstance in which another person can receive attention without having to earn it. The device also allows the town to be revealed gradually. Instead of one tightly wound plot, the novel gathers meaning through linked human episodes. The pattern can feel repetitive, but that repetition is also the point. Goodness is presented as a practice, not a single dramatic gesture. Secondly, being seen as a path toward dignity and repair, the novel repeatedly returns to the idea that people are changed when someone pays careful, non-transactional attention to them. Theo approaches the portrait subjects not as problems to fix, but as persons whose lives deserve to be heard. This emphasis gives the book its emotional shape. Many of the encounters are less about external rescue than about recognition. A person is invited to tell a story, name a grief, acknowledge a hope, or reconsider an old assumption about personal value. The act of being seen is therefore not presented as flattery. It is a moral event because it counters isolation and the casual invisibility of ordinary life. Golden is not portrayed as a community without pain, but as a place where people often carry their pain privately. Theo changes the town by making private burdens speakable. The social implication is clear. Community renewal begins when attention becomes personal rather than generalized. The book suggests that dignity is strengthened not only by justice or achievement, but by patient recognition. Thirdly, beauty is a catalyst for attention, gratitude, and change. Beauty is not decorative in Theo of Golden. It is one of the forces that teaches characters how to look. The portraits are the clearest example, because art becomes the bridge between Theo and the townspeople. Yet the novel also associates beauty with music, nature, and moments of wonder that interrupt ordinary perception. This emphasis matters because Theo is not simply distributing kindness as a social program. He is responding to a world he experiences as charged with meaning. Beauty slows him down, sharpens his attention, and gives him a reason to delight in particulars: a face, a voice, a story, a place. The book, therefore, links aesthetic perception to moral perception. To notice beauty is to become more capable of noticing people. This can make the novel feel idealistic, but it also gives coherence to its moral vision. Kindness is not portrayed as mere politeness. It grows from an ability to receive the world with gratitude and to let that gratitude become action toward others. Fourthly, Christian-informed ordinary holiness without a conventional sermon plot. Theo of Golden is widely understood as a Christian-influenced novel, though it is not structured primarily as conversion fiction or doctrinal argument. Its religious imagination appears through images of grace, heaven, mercy, sacrifice, and the conviction that goodness can be embodied in daily acts. The coffee shop name, the Calice, and the recurring concern with grief, hope, and final meaning reinforce this framework. The novel does not deny darkness. It includes sorrow and human damage, but it insists that darkness does not have interpretive authority over the whole of life. This is the book, central theological movement. Ordinary holiness is visible in patience, generosity, listening, and care for wounded people. Its Christian dimension may be especially meaningful for readers who want fiction shaped by faith without constant exposition. At the same time, the clarity of the message can feel overt to readers who prefer ambiguity. The novel trades subtle theological tension for a readable moral confidence rooted in practiced compassion. Lastly, a gentle structure that creates warmth while limiting dramatic tension. The strengths and limitations of Theo of Golden come from the same artistic choice. The novel is built around repeated scenes of encounter, generosity, and revelation, which creates warmth, accessibility, and emotional continuity. Readers who value hopeful fiction may find this structure reassuring because the book does not treat cynicism as a sign of sophistication. It gives sustained attention to decency and makes kindness narratively consequential. However, the same design can reduce suspense. Theo is often more catalyst than conflicted protagonist, and the moral direction of many scenes is clear from the beginning. Readers seeking psychological ambiguity, sharp irony, or complex plot reversals may find the book too direct. This does not mean the novel lacks seriousness. Rather, its seriousness is ethical more than dramatic. It asks whether a story can be compelling because it models goodness consistently, not because it complicates every motive. Its place in contemporary fiction depends on that wager that moral clarity, even when plainly stated, can still move readers. In conclusion, Theo of Golden is best suited for readers who want reflective, humane fiction centered on community, faith, attention, and the possibility of moral repair. It will especially appeal to those who enjoy character-based novels in which ordinary encounters carry spiritual or ethical weight. Book clubs, church reading groups, and readers interested in kindness as a practical discipline will find clear discussion material in its portrait structure, its treatment of grief, and its focus on hidden lives within a small town. The practical benefit of the book lies in how concretely it imagines generosity. It does not leave kindness as a vague virtue. It shows how attention, time, and a modest gift can open a conversation. Its intellectual benefit is a sustained reflection on whether goodness can be credible in fiction without irony dominating the tone. Compared with many contemporary novels about lonely towns or wounded communities, Theo of Golden stands out for its unusually direct moral confidence and its integration of beauty, art, and Christian hope. Its limitations are real readers who need dense plotting or moral ambiguity may find it too gentle, but within hopeful literary fiction, its distinctiveness comes from making the simple act of truly seeing another person, the organizing principle of an entire town story. If you would like to support Alan Levy, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.